I want to say again to our visitors, we're glad you're here. It's good to see the church members as well, but glad all of you are here. Pray that God blesses us today and helps us. We need His help. We need His blessings. We need His unction, His anointing, His power. I believe in the power of God working in our lives, and I've experienced it for myself, and I believe it's a real thing that everyone needs to experience for themselves. It's the only way to be sure. That assurance only comes from a direct contact or direct relationship with God. You know, if one man can convince you one way, another man can come along and convince you another way. But we haven't been convinced by men, we've been convinced by God. And it gives us an edge, doesn't it? We know it's real. We've experienced it for ourselves, and I want everyone to experience it for themselves. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the 107th Psalm. This is a wonderful psalm, a psalm of redemption. You know, God has so framed human history that we can see, and it's very obvious, that our God, the God that created us, is a God that redeems, a God that saves, a God that delivers. And in the 107th Psalm, there's an invitation for those that have been redeemed to give thanks to the Lord. And there's also an encouragement to those of you that have not yet been redeemed to join us, experience the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to read a large portion of this 107th Psalm. And I know a lot of times missionary Baptists preach and present God as a God of judgment, and He is. He's a God that judges unrighteousness. He judges unrighteousness. But He also is a God that has provided redemption from unrighteousness. I mean, you got to preach both, you know, a God that delivers, a God that judges. And we know that we're under condemnation, we know we're under judgment because of sin, but God is a loving, merciful God that provides eternal grace and eternal redemption, and He provides it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And much of the framework of the Old Testament is to showcase the coming of the Lord Jesus, Him coming to redeem us from sin. I spoke about Israel last week and how that Israel is a nation that God chose to set forth to the world that this God was going to provide spiritual deliverance. He was going to not only provide spiritual deliverance, but I believe that He's going to redeem the earth. Amen? He's going to redeem the earth. He's going to reclaim what is His. And the curse is going to be removed. It's going to be purified. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And this is what the book says. He's going to reclaim Eden. He's going to do that. And He's going to remove the sin and the transgressions and the iniquities of the human race. He's called out a redeemed people that will reside in this glorious, righteous, holy place, the glorified Jerusalem. One of these days, we're going to heaven. But only the redeemed get to go there. That's the point. I want to start in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wander in the wilderness in a solitary place. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for the wonderful works in the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing of the soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gate. As he goes through an analysis of the history of the people of Israel and shows the many times that God has redeemed. This verse 2, which talks about the redeemed saying so, they've experienced it firsthand for themselves. And they are the ones that are to give thanks for what we read of in verse 1 of the mercies that endure forever, the everlasting spiritual mercies. God in human history has showcased human deliverance, or the deliverance of Israel from their various bondages and various afflictions, to show that He can deliver mankind from personal spiritual enemies. He's showing that He can deliver us spiritually through what he did with Israel, delivering them nationally. Now that's important because the world needs to know that our God is a God that redeems. In the book of Isaiah, we've been studying the last prophecy of the book of Isaiah, and about 13 different times, God refers to Himself not only as the God that creates, the God that formed them as a nation, a God that saves, and a God that delivers, and a God that's holy, but He also, about 13 times in this one prophecy, refers to Himself as a God that redeems. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Amen and amen. That's reading 32 verses of the 107th Psalm for a reading lesson this morning. This is a wonderful psalm. This psalm is very poetic. It is a pictorial of God's redemption. This pictorial psalm that we're looking at this morning, it gives us illustration after illustration, picture after picture, that it might cause you to realize that God, the God that we serve, the God that created us, the God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, He is a God that redeems. These rich pictures of the nature of God, of this attribute of His, this characteristic of His, that He delivers. Now, the word redemption is the strongest possible word that could be used with regard to deliverance. It's talking about deliverance from slavery, being purchased at the form. Someone delivered from slavery. And so as we look at the word redemption, it's the strongest word possible used with respect to one being delivered from distress. And so as we look at the word redemption and the work of redemption and how that He restored Israel over and over again, each one of these deliverances, the one in Egypt, the one from Babylon, each one of them were hinged upon the eternal mercies of God. We keep going back to verse 1 where He talks about His mercies enduring forever. In other words, He was showcasing in Israel God's redeeming grace. Amen? God's redeeming grace was showcased in the deliverance of Israel. I mean, their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, and also, as we go through this psalm, the deliverance from Babylonian captivity. So through the centuries, each time that God rescued, each time that He ransomed, each time that He redeemed, each time that He restored Israel, it was all because of spiritual, eternal mercies. It was because of His everlasting mercies. Now, He can deliver us, and He has delivered folks physically. He's delivered Israel nationally. And we think of those things in the temporal. But each one of these temporal, natural deliverances, they are pointing us to a personal, spiritual deliverance a redemption that God wants to take place in the hearts and lives of every single human being. That the blood of Jesus could be applied to your heart. That you could be spiritually ransomed and redeemed from the enemy of your soul. Folks, listen to me. The devil's out to get us. He is the great adversary. He goeth forth like a lion, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And he's trying to devour our lives. He's trying to devour our homes. He's trying to devour our nation. And he's trying to devour our churches. He is the arch enemy of the church. He is the arch enemy of mankind. He is the spiritual enemy. And so God, he showed that he is capable of delivering Israel from natural enemies. You look there in verse 3 of this psalm. He talks about delivering them from the west, and he did that. He delivered them from the Philistines. He talks about delivering them from the north, and of course he did that. He delivered them from the Assyrians. He talks about delivering them from the south, which he did. He delivered them from Egyptian bondage. He talks about delivering them from the east, and he did. He delivered them from Babylonian captivity. From the four corners of the world, God dispersed people were regathered. He gathered his redeemed. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he talked about gathering us, didn't he? In the book of Matthew, I believe it tells us, Matthew declares that Jesus preached that he's going to deliver his redeemed from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. We're going to be gathered together. We're going to sit down at the table of Abraham with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Father's kingdom. Yeah. Yes. I mean, all we ought to do is look through the book of Revelation. You know, and these general deliverances that are being described in this particular psalm, these pictorial, historical deliverances, they are to encourage you that you need personal, that you need spiritual deliverance, and that God is capable of delivering you from the destruction of sin. He is able to deliver you from the transgressions that have caused you to be under the judgment and the condemnation of God. He is able to deliver you from the power of sin and the presence of sin in your life. And he's done that through sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt for us. Yeah. Yeah. And as I, you know, you go through this psalm and I probably won't get a chance to go through all four of the illustrations. The first illustration, and it's very powerful, the illustrations he gives, they actually occurred. You know, the wandering in the wilderness between Babylon returning back to Judea, the travel, the being lost in the wilderness. Notice verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness. You see that there? Now, notice something. What he's doing is giving us natural, tangible, real experiences that occurred in Israel to showcase spiritual, personal deliverance in our own lives. They were lost in the wilderness. But God delivered them. He eventually brought them to Canaan. He brought them back to Judea. And in each one of these experiences, there's four of them. There's four illustrations with four points, four particular things that occur in each one of these illustrations of redemption. The first one is being lost in the wilderness. The second one is being locked in a prison. He talks about the gates. He talks about the bands. He talks about being shackled in verse 14. He talks about languishing in death in verse 18, where, you know, just prior to dying, you lose your appetite. I don't know how many times somebody just before they die, the family will say, well, they've not eaten anything in 3 days, or they've not drank anything in 3 days. And he talks about languishing at the gate of death in verse 18. Then he talks about a life-threatening storm. The storm is coming, but praise God, we have one who is able to deliver us from the storm, to redeem us. Now, each one of these are natural things that occurred in the history of Israel to showcase that you need, listen to me, you need deliverance from sin.
Don't miss this. God has so staged human history to show all flesh. Everybody say all flesh again. To show the whole world that they need a Savior. Then our God is a God that saves. Our God is a God that redeems. And each one of us need to experience personal and spiritual redemption in our own life in order for us to go to heaven. Oh, in the seventh chapter, you know, that verse 3, you know, gathering them from all different corners of the compass. In the seventh chapter of Revelation, he talks about seeing this great number that no man can number, out of every tribe, out of every nation, out of every people group, from all corners of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ gathers them, and they come into that holy place, that heavenly place, and they say, salvation! We are those that have experienced the redemption of God. Salvation to our God. Yes. Only the saved go to heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for people who have made their preparations. And they have been redeemed from the enemy. Oh, they go in and they sing this song of gratitude. And this psalm, the 107th psalm. Now, I believe it was written as they found their way back from Babylonian captivity. That's when I believe it was written. I believe it was sung in the third chapter of Ezra. I mean, they had just experienced the redemption of God. All right, so you've got like four illustrations of God's redemption from verse 40 to verse 32. Four historical illustrations, four actual events where God delivered Israel. God redeemed them, and he showcases a personal spiritual redemption from sin. See, all that God did naturally, he intended to do spiritually. The greatest redemption possible in human history is the redemption from sin. Him sending his only begotten Son. All right, so let me say this. This should encourage us. This should encourage us. If it was possible for God to redeem like that, it is possible for God to redeem you from sin. No matter how far you wander. And we notice like in verse 17, it talks about the prison. You know, the reason people are locked up is because they have committed a crime. Right, Bill? I mean, we lock people up because of their own doing. Listen, we are sinners because of our own doing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have transgressed the laws of our Maker, who is a holy God. And the only way we can ever have that relationship restored is by the blood of Jesus. You've got to have an application of the blood of Jesus Christ upon your soul, or you'll never get to go to heaven. This isn't a denominational message at all. It's a non-denominational message. Amen. Crosses all denominational lines. You have to be redeemed. And in this illustration, in this psalm, it is making it very, 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 very clear that you must have a personal experience of redemption. You don't just drift into redemption. Okay. The illustrations just won't permit that. The first one is somebody lost in the wilderness. Somebody out there wandering around, and they're thirsty and they're hungry. They're looking for the city where they can have happiness, and they can find contentment, and they can have their bellies filled, and they can have their thirst quenched. And this graphic illustration resembles the blessings of God in redemption that is provided in Christ. You know, we're about the only ones that still use the expression lost. You have to be lost before you can be found. See? And so he's saying that this is how redemption works. First, you realize that you are wandering, lost and undone and separated from God. You have to understand that first. You have to realize that you're lost. And like I said, in each one of these illustrations, there's four things that occur. There is the predicament. You must understand the predicament you're in. Look there in this verse. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. I thought about Abraham. Yeah, he was looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for that heavenly city. Amen. Yes, I think he's there today. You might disagree with me. But the first predicament in verse 4 and 5, look at it. Look at the Word of God. These are pictorial illustrations. We're talking about kindergarten stuff, all right? We're talking about opening up a picture book. And God is saying, this is how redemption works. First, you realize that you are lost in the wilderness of sin. That's the first step, okay? Now, this restlessness, this aimlessness that's going on in our society, we've got a generation that they're looking for love in all the wrong places, folks. They really are. You know, oh, how aimless their lives are. Their lives are full of vanity, void of substance. Why? It's because God is missing from the equation. And we were created, we were designed in a way that our souls can only be ultimately satisfied by the presence of God. Amen. He is the only one that will satisfy that hunger. He's the only one that will satisfy that spiritual thirst. I thank God I found Jesus. And He is the bread of life. Amen. He said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Something will happen inside of you where you'll have a well of water springing up to everlasting life. And the church still today cries out to a world, says, come. Come drink of the water. You got to get a drink of the water. Amen. The Spirit of the bride says, come. He that heareth saith, come. He that is athirsty, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Amen. Still the message of the church. You got to get a drink of the water. And you get water in that heavenly place. And Jesus is the only one that really resides in the heavenly place for us as our high priest. But anyway, Israel, while in Babylon, was in a desert. They were on the brink of destruction. They were at their last wit's end. And we look at their lives and we look at their nation and we see them, much like the sinners today, wandering aimlessly, struggling to find happiness, struggling to find contentment. Listen, let me say this. Christians should be the most content people on the face of the earth. Amen. We found life. Yeah. We're not wandering around wondering where we're going. We know where we're going. We know who saved us. And He's going to take us home to heaven. Amen. To that city of habitation, which I believe is heaven. Amen. Amen. Yeah. He's going to take us out of this old wilderness of sin. And He's going to take us to heaven. Praise God. Yeah. They wandered around in a place with no safety. I'm telling you, heaven is a safe place. Amen. All we got to do is look in the book of Revelation, and we can see that heaven is a very safe place. So this redemption, it is the sinner's predicament. They are lost. Lost. You can't find your way. You don't know the way that leads to life. And the churches in the world and the redeemed of the world are saying, this is the way. Amen. Yeah, we're telling you, this is the way. Jesus is the way. You got to know Jesus. You have to experience Jesus. You've got to experience His redemption that He established when He came into this world and died on the cross of Calvary. You must personally and spiritually be redeemed from sin. Until that happens, you're lost. Oh, we sing the songs, don't we? I once was lost, but what? You know, nobody can deny the clear revelation of Scripture that teaches us that each one of us individually must experience the redemption of the soul. Can't deny it. Jesus said, you must be born again, okay? I mean, Jesus said, everybody, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. John chapter 3 and verse 8, he was telling us that each one of us individually, each one of us spiritually, each one of us internally must experience a work of redemption. We must experience the eternal mercies and the everlasting grace. You can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone. Everybody say everyone. He's telling us you got to have a time and a place. I mean, that's what he's telling you. Where you once were lost, and now you found. It's not that hard, folks. This is kindergarten stuff, all right? It's all through the Scripture, right? It's teaching us that we must experience a work of redemption. So the wandering sinner, his predicament is he's lost. He can't find any safety. There's no place of refuge. But praise God, there's refuge in heaven. There's safety in God. There's a refuge in Christ. Amen. He's the only safe place that mankind has. All right, let's come to the sinner's predicament. We see that he is wandering lost. And then we see his petition. What does he do about it? Look at verse 6. Now, I want to point out something. We have four illustrations, and each one of these illustrations of redemption, the exact four things happen. You understand your predicament, okay? Then you have a plea or a petition or a prayer to God, right? Then you are pardoned or delivered, and then you're able to give praise to the Lord. Amen? Those are the four things seen in each four of these illustrations. And time is getting away from me. I probably won't be able to go through all of them. They're all there. You examine them for yourself. And he gives us four illustrations, an analysis of redemption. And it starts with your predicament, realizing your lostness. You'll never plead to God for deliverance. If you don't understand that you're lost and undone before God, you'll never pray this kind of prayer. So, you understand your predicament, and then what does he do? Like I said, all of these do the same thing. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Cried unto the Lord. That's what Israel did down in Egyptian bondage, didn't it? They cried to the Lord. That's what he did in Babylonian captivity. Daniel, the ninth chapter of Daniel. He prayed. He repented. He cried out to God. You know, I'm of the opinion that all of repentance and all of faith, all that is necessary for man to find the Lord, can be summed up in a cry to Him. Help God! Lord, save me! And it can all be summed up in a cry. And you know what? They had nothing to offer. They simply cried to the Lord, and the Lord responded. Praise God! Look in that verse. He delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 6. He delivered them. They cried to the Lord, and He delivered them. Now this illustrates sinners of every age, needing deliverance, can cry out to God, and God will save them and deliver them. You don't have to have a lot of information. Just respond to the light that God has given you of your predicament. Remember Jonah? He went down there, preached to the city of Nineveh, a bunch of heathen Gentiles. There was all kinds of abomination and transgression and iniquity occurring in that city. He preached just a few words, yet 40 days Nineveh should be overthrown. Man, they got on their knees. They sat in ashes, they put on sackcloth, and the Bible says from the king all the way down to the beast, they cried out to God. And God saved them. Amen. They got on their face, they cried out to God, and God delivered them. He redeemed them. Amen. The Bible says be more tolerable for all these other cities that haven't received as much light than it will be for the people of Jerusalem when Jesus was there. Then he went a little further and said, Nineveh shall rise up in judgment and condemn you. They had just a few little words, just a little bit of light, just a little bit of information, and they responded to that. They realized they were lost and condemned and about to be destroyed, and they cried out to God, and God delivered them. But I'm telling you, there's only one that can satisfy the longing of your soul, and it's God. Amen. And if you will cry out to God, you'll experience the bread of life, and you'll experience the living water, and He'll take you to that, and I got to stop. He'll take you to that heavenly city. Amen. Yeah, He talks about that here. He'll make a straight way for you to go to that heavenly city. Listen, you've gotta get to the end of yourself. Just like the sick man, just like the jailed man, just like the languishing sickness and the locked up prisoner, you got to come to your wit's end, come to the end of yourself, and in your desperation, you'll do what all of these people did that got redeemed, and what we had to do to get redeemed, you'll cry out to God. Problem is, people aren't desperate enough. They're not hungry enough. They're not thirsty enough. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. You can't get the filling until you are hungry and thirsty for it. You've got to want it. You'll never find it. Oh, you cry out to the King Eternal, the King of Glory. They called out to the King of that eternal city. Who's the King of the eternal city? Jesus. Who sits on the throne? Who will judge at the great white throne? It's Jesus. Jesus is on the throne. All right, I got to rush through this. The third part of this, and it's found in every one of these four illustrations. They go from predicament to petition or plea or prayer to pardon. You see that there? Verse 6. He delivered them out of their distress. He redeemed them. And when a sinner cries out to God to be redeemed from sin, he will experience eternal redemption. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Yeah. You come to Jesus. Now that's what's so fascinating and so great about Missionary Baptists. All right? I know a lot of young people like, I didn't know there was anything great about Missionary Baptists. Oh, there's a lot of great stuff about us. One is this. We make sure that everybody knows for themselves. You get it for yourself. We don't force you. We don't push you. We don't intimidate you. We just say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You've got to go to Him for yourself. Amen. Now, that's great about Missionary Baptists, isn't it? I tell you what, it's nothing like one of your friends, your loved ones, your children, look you in the eye and say, I know I've been redeemed. He redeemed me. He saved me. I'm on my way to heaven. And they know that they know that they know they're saved. And that's what he's talking about here. Well, just as Jerusalem was restored, I mean, it was a miracle. There was a miracle that took place in Israel. Jerusalem being rebuilt and restored. You know, Cyrus issuing that decree, giving them all that they provided to reestablish that city, giving them Nehemiah to reestablish the wall and give them safety and provision. He provided everything that they needed for the journey. And I'm telling you, God has provided everything we need for the journey to the celestial city. Yeah. Everything that we need. And when a sinner comes to God and cries out to Him, you can't come with any works. You have nothing to offer. You're lost. You're in a state of desperation, about to die in the wilderness. And you cry out to God like they did. They had nothing to offer God. I was going to get to the incarceration of being locked up in prison. And let me quickly illustrate how that was when they went into Babylonian captivity. You read about this in the last part of 2 Kings. Zedekiah, their king, the king of Judah, before they were taken to Babylonian captivity, we read that when the Babylonians came and took Jerusalem, they took that king of Judah, the king of Israel, the king of the Jews, the natural king, the man king. They took him and they put him in chains. They brought out all his noblemen and they slaughtered them right before his very eyes. Then they brought out each member of his family and they slaughtered them right before his very eyes. And after the last child of his family was slaughtered, they poked out his eyes and they drug him off in chains into Babylon. My friend, I don't know if you realize or not, but you need to be set free from sin. And there's only one God that can redeem you from the chains of sin. That was a kind of, that depicted, that was a microcosm of how that Israel was in locked in prison in Babylon. But they were set free. God set them free. My friend, He'll set you free. But they had to cry out to God, and God heard their prayer, pardoned them. And we've been dealing with that on Wednesday night on how He pardoned them. And you can't read the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, and when he talks about letting them go from Babylon, without using this word, grace. Grace! 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 Amazing, eternal, wonderful grace. They experienced the grace of God. He even mentions, he said, for 70 years, you've not offered up one single sacrifice. Your temple was shut down. How are you going to get pardoned? How am I going to give forgiveness? How am I going to let go of all these iniquities and these transgressions? I'll tell you how He pardoned Israel. He pardoned Israel with grace. And if you ever are redeemed and pardoned, it'll be pardoned by grace. Amen. They had nothing to offer, and you have nothing to offer. Right? Nothing to offer. Like a sick man on his deathbed at the gates of death in verse 18. Nothing. He will revive you. He will redeem you if you'll cry out to Him. You see that? It's in every one of these illustrations. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Look at verse 19. Look back in verse 13. Look on down those people in the ship. Verse 28. They cry. Every one of these cried out to God. God is saying clearly, you'll never be redeemed till you pray. Won't happen. Not till you cry out to God. Have we been delivered? Amen. Aaron, go ahead and get a song ready. Then we ought to respond to that. Our obligation is recorded in here. And then there's an invitation for everybody else. Oh, that men, oh, that everybody would experience redemption. Oh, that everybody would experience the redemption that is in God. That God is a God that saves and delivers. Oh, that everybody would join in this. Where you too can be in the congregation of the righteous and praise God, be in church, because you've been redeemed from the enemy. Amen? That's why I go to church. Because you redeemed me. So go ahead and stand your feet. Pardon. Being set free. Being delivered. Being delivered from sin. You know, in each one of these illustrations, you can see the spiritual, personal aspect of it. I spiritually was lost, but now I'm found. I spiritually was in prison, locked in a prison. Spiritually, I was in chains, in the chains of sin, but I was set free. I had a sickness. I tell you, if you're a sinner, you are sin sick. I was in the sickness of sin, but I was made well by the great physician. And on the storm of life, I mean, the waves were going up to heaven, they were going down to the deep, but praise God, I've got a calmness and a peace in my life that came from redemption that passes all understanding. Amen. And so, I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen? I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed, and I can praise the Lord. Praise Him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This is the point. Every one of us that are saved can say so if we've been redeemed. And all of it goes back to those showcasing of eternal mercies. The everlasting mercies of God, the eternal grace of God. All of the redemption that man has experienced in the natural realm is to showcase the spiritual sense. somebody here lost.
I have what you need.
But you come to Jesus Christ.
You keep on searching. I've done all the work.
He's done all the work for you. Jesus is the answer.
You keep on working when you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy.
Listen, all the chaos and confusion, it can turn to a calm in your life if you'll come to Jesus.
You can spend your whole life
people
chasing
are looking.
What's missing.
They're searching. They're wandering lost.
Inside.
But I'll tell you what. When you get planted on Jesus Christ, He gives you a direction for your life.
Nothing
amen. He lifts you out of the miry clay of sin. He puts you on a solid rock. And He establishes your going. And from that point on, the steps of a righteous man are ordered to the Lord.
And all who search will find what their soul longs for.
Is there a void there?
The world will try.
Look deep inside your soul. Do you see yourself lost, wandering in search of life? In search of purpose.
Come to the well.
Oh, come to Jesus. The restlessness will cease. He will heal you.
Bring me your heart.
He'll give you guidance
no
and direction for your
broken,
life. As only He did.
Just come as you are.
Just come to Jesus.
When your last prayer is
just
spoken.
Cry out to the Lord.
Just rest in my arms a while.
Save you and deliver you from your
sins. You'll feel the change,
deliver
my
you
child.
From the shackles
you come
of sin.
To the well.